Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday, everybody. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Campbell. Drew Duffney hanging out with us. It is your local alternative solid state radio. And, lots to do today. We do have some breaking news right off the jump.
Yeah.
Offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Ben Johnson staying in Detroit.
Yeah.
He was, linked to a couple other NFL teams. He's like, nope.
It seemed like Washington was a done deal.
Yeah, he was like, nope, we got some unfinished business, and he's staying, which that's good news.
As it should be.
Yep.
I'm rather glad to see it, honestly. It certainly, I'm not going to say it softens the blow of what happened on Sunday, but it makes you feel a little bit less like this was your only shot at it, you know?
I don't know. I got talking to a San Francisco 49ers fan. He's like, that was a great game. You got a great team going on there. You're gonna do I don't know if it was just, hey, good job, buddy. Good for you.
Probably.
But, you know, I don't know. I think the team learned a lot during this whole thing. I know that I think they're going to get back there.
I hope you're right about that. Certainly, that would be ideal. You'd like to see that happen. But, I mean, as we've seen, it's not easy doing. I mean, Philly just got to a Super Bowl not that long ago, and what happened to them the next year? Oh, they got blown out by Tampa in the first round.
Yeah, but
a team that barely made the playoffs.
Yeah, but they had won it like what, 4 years prior? Then they beat the Pats.
They had won pre Jalen Hurts, correct?
Yep. I'm trying to remember. Oh my God, big name quarterback. No, actually, it was kind of a surprise kind of quarterback. I can't remember his
Nick
name.
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, it's hard to do. It is very hard to get back there once you've been to the top, like, getting back to it, or you've been that close to it. Getting back there is nigh upon impossible to do.
I don't know. There's a lot of people saying,
other than KC, but KC's like, that's a freak thing because you have the best tight end, the best quarterback in the league.
But then you have those people that say, you've got to lose it to win it. And maybe that's just a hockey thing, but a lot of people say, you kind of have to lose it to win it.
I mean, this is a team that had zero playoff experience really going into this game.
Yep.
And very few guys who had been really on a successful team prior to here, a lot of young guys actually, so there wasn't a lot of experience, and you still managed to make it to the NFC title game.
And you really kind of had them on the ropes going into the second half. I don't know what happened in that third quarter. Goff couldn't complete a pass to save his life, but
receivers couldn't hold on to passes to save their lives.
Yep.
Yeah. Looking at you, Josh Reynolds.
That first half was great.
It was as good of and dominant of Lions football as we've seen all season.
But then the 49ers came back and showed everybody why they were first. They were first place in the NFC.
They certainly did. It was, and you kind of expected that shoe was going to drop eventually. They were going to go in at the half and lock things in, and ultimately that's exactly what they did. And you end up getting bounced as a result. But at least a little bit of good news on kind of a dreary Tuesday afternoon, that, yeah, Ben Johnson's coming back to run it back again. And you've heard a few things come out about it. Like, originally it was reported he was getting a hefty raise to stay here. As it turns out, no, that's not the case. He's under contract here for another 2 years. Also, now there's rumor going around whether Aaron Glenn's going to be back next year, because he was supposed to interview today with Washington, and he might be the next guy up for that gig, which would be unfortunate in itself because he took a defensive unit that really didn't have a lot of talent on it and got a lot out of it. So that's going to be disappointing if that is indeed the case. We'll see what happens there, I suppose, though. I'm not exactly hopeful that we're going to be able to retain both, but man, would it be nice.
Yes, it would.
Much to do today. Do some way too early Lions expectations for 2024 and whatever the hell else. Well, we've got 3 hours to fill. We'll figure out how we're going to fill it when we get there. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. The Revivalists at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. And one more Lions thing as we kind of put a bow of sorts on the 2023 season. So you've now been to the NFC title game. Obviously, market improvement over last year. Certainly an improvement over our expectations, which were basically win a playoff game, win your division. And, well, you've done that.
Yep.
What is your expectation now going into next season? Where are you setting the goalposts at?
I don't see the NFC North improving aside from the Lions.
I don't know. Green Bay looked pretty strong there at the end.
They did, but I think Detroit is going to improve what they're doing. Because first of all, they've showed everybody that they're no joke. So I think that what that's going to do is you're going to all of a sudden get some more free agents, some talented free agents looking at it and say, okay, well maybe this is the destination if I want a ring. So you've got that going for you. Minnesota, Chicago, they're a non-factor. Green Bay is going to be an issue, but they're still kind of on the young side too. So I see them winning the NFC North again, and I see them going to Super Bowl. Winning? I don't know. I'm not going to go that far, but I could see them getting into the big game.
I will take that. I will absolutely take making it to the Super Bowl. I mean, how else are you really improving from here, honestly? Like, there's not much farther to go up without making it Super Bowl or bust, as a couple people have said. Like, not to say that has to be the expectation, because getting to that point, as we know, is exceptionally difficult and nigh upon impossible to do for, like, look what happened to Philly. But I don't think it's much to ask to get back to the NFC title game, this time actually take care of business through a full 60 minutes of football.
Yeah.
I don't think that's that much to ask. I mean, it is a lot to ask, admittedly, but I feel like it's a reasonable reasonable goalpost to set to make it back there and, you know, improve on last year, especially considering that you'll go in this year with what do they call it? A defense. Yeah, that's it.
Ah, yeah, that'd be nice. Now you have a coach with a lot more experience under his belt. You have some of the younger players knowing what the postseason is like and knowing what to expect. And, you know, experience carries you a long way. So I could see this happening. I mean, the Niners, they've been to the playoffs many times. Maybe it's their turn to win, because they haven't been to the Super Bowl since it was against the Ravens. I remember that.
It's not they haven't been to the Super Bowl, because they have been to quite a few championship games in recent years. They didn't win it, because, I mean, they were in the Super Bowl last year. Like, Brock Purdy got to the conference championship last year. When were they in the Super Bowl? It's been in relatively recent history. It was 2019 against KC.
Was it?
It was last time they actually made it all the way.
Really?
So this is a rematch of 2019?
Correct.
2019 that wasn't Brock Purdy.
That was not Brock Purdy. That would have been
Garoppolo.
Jimmy G. No, they made it to the NFC title game last year is what it was.
Okay.
Their fourth time making it to the NFC title game. Well, this is their fourth time in the last 5 years. So they're like perennially at least in the conversation. And you're now 2-2 in NFC title games in Shanahan's tenure here, for what it's worth. I'm not so sure I think it can be KC, but that is what it is. Like they're always very much in the conversation. And this will probably be, I don't know if I want to say it's going to be their year. I don't think I'd go that far. But as far as the Lions go, yeah, I think it seems weird to say that Super Bowl, making it to the Super Bowl is the expectation next year, but I think a lot of people are going to see it that way, and
well,
I don't blame them for
it. It's really the only way to say you improved on the year before. I mean, you got to the title game, the NFC title game.
You know,
you want to say that you want them to get there again and lose again? I mean, that's kind
right, exactly. So. You know what I would like to see happen? Let's secure an NFC title game at Ford Field. Win that number one overall seed.
There you go. Instead of going 12-6, you know.
12-5.
12-5.
No. Yeah.
12-5. You're right. Maybe 13 and four. I mean,
right? It's certainly doable.
Maybe 17-0. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just spitting out numbers here.
I mean, that's let's be honest. Even you know that's not going to happen.
No.
But that's the only other way I can really see you taking that step forward. Win your not only win the division, win your conference.
Yep.
Easy.
That would be nice
to do. Not really, but that's. You've now kind of set yourselves up for these lofty expectations. The rebuild has certainly exceeded the timeline for a lot of people. You went a lot of people after you like came within a Seattle loss of making the playoffs last year. A lot of people were going to be happiest. Get a home playoff game at Ford Field and win it. You did that and then some. Now you've kind of now for next season, I think you can reasonably move the goalposts further.
Yeah, I mean, I think so because I haven't heard of what the contracts look like, but it sounds like everybody's staying. We still got Goff for next year. We've still got Hutchinson.
You still got Amon-Ra. You still got all your all those fantastic rookies that made some big impact on this team. Like, you're not losing. And looking at the guys even that you are losing this offseason, I'm not worried about a lot. Like, some of them you're going to have to. You're going to want to keep, but I don't really see a whole lot of guys that, quite frankly, I am going to be all that concerned about losing. Guys who I'm not going to be all overly, like, oh my God, what if we don't keep this guy signed, I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, there's none of those. I just want to know, is there a list of NFL free agents for next season?
Oh, there's absolutely a list of NFL free agents. I'll give you ours first, or the Lions first. Romeo Okwara, you're not, I mean, I don't know how worried you really are about him. That didn't the Lions, well, the Lions cut his brother, I think it was. Charles Harris, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I think he's gone.
Yeah.
He kind of, like, embarrassed you in the playoff game. I mean, there was a little too much of, a little too showboaty for my liking, very much not of the culture of the team, where you have guys who are like, I could be a head coach somewhere else, but I'm coming back here because of the team. I believe in what the team's doing. Meanwhile, he's going out there, blindside hitting Debo Samuel and taking 15-yard penalties because of a stupid beef that the two of them have.
Right.
The waving bye to the Niners fans at the half. Like, all these things that are very much not in the spirit of what Dan Campbell's trying to build here. Vitae, I mean, I would not be particularly disappointed to see him go. I mean, I'd like to see you upgrade that position, if anything. Glasgow's a free agent. You could see them maybe retaining him because you can never have too much depth on your O-line. Jonah Jackson's an unrestricted free agent. You're definitely obviously going to want to get him back. But it's not like there's a whole lot of huge, we have to absolutely keep these guys. You're not losing a whole lot. In free agency, like there's maybe a handful of guys there you want to re-sign. Like you definitely would want to keep around Will Harrison and Jalen Reeves-Maybin, Josh Reynolds. You know, fourth and two drop aside. Like, so it is like there's a few decisions that are gonna have to be made, but it's mostly you're gonna be adding through the draft. That's the idea here: draft and free agency, and really secure that, shore up that defense, because that's the thing that needs it the most. Like, it's impressive, quite frankly, how much Aaron Glenn actually did, considering that he didn't have a lot of talent to work with, which really makes it that much more impressive what he managed to do while he was here, or while he's been, hopefully staying for another season. I guess we'll see once the Commanders make their decision there. So, yeah, a lot of things that have to be looked at, but I think as it stands right now, I think making it to a Super Bowl is not an unreasonable expectation for next year.
I mean, I said that this year, and you guys laughed at me, and we almost made it.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have saved that tape because you could have been able to play it back because, yeah, I didn't think they'd be
You're still right, though. You guys were both still right.
Well,
they didn't make it.
Well, the thing is, I didn't think they'd make it this far.
Yeah.
They surpassed my expectations. Not to beat a dead horse, but some of the notable players are going to be possibly hitting free agency unless they sign with some of their other teams.
Want to hit a break real quick? Let's do that next.
Yeah.
Here is Young the Giant at Solid State Radio. Incubus, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And Adam brought up a list over here.
Yeah, PFF.com. I don't know what they are. But
Pro Football Focus.
Okay. 2024 NFL free agency. Now, this is providing they don't sign with their current team again. I mean, you've got Chris Jones from the KC Chiefs.
Well, yeah, there's a guy that any team in the league would love to have. I wouldn't certainly mind him on this team, but I don't think you can afford him. Because isn't he the one that sat out for a bit over a contract dispute? I'm thinking Chris Jones, I think.
They reworked the contract this past season. Tag for Jones would land north of $33 million.
A year?
Yep.
You're not paying that. Like, the Lions do not have the cap space going into next season to do that. As much as I would love to see some big splashes like that on the defensive side of the ball, I also know damn well, looking at this thing, going into next year, you have $61 million in cap space. You're not committing half of that to one dude.
No. What about Josh Allen from the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Interesting idea. I don't hate it. Again, I don't expect that you're going to see big splashes from the Lions in free agency anyway, as much as I would not be opposed to them, certainly.
My point is that with the success that the Lions have had, and maybe I'm just comparing it too close to hockey, but it seems like in the NHL, when you get that team, whether it's Pittsburgh, Vegas, Detroit back in the 90s, once you started getting some success, you're much more glitz and glamour for
people
the free agents.
People want to join.
Yeah.
And I have a question, and I don't know if you guys can even answer this.
Sure.
So obviously it's a team sport. And Campbell's worked out something to where the whole team gets along with everyone, one another. I mean, you have your tiffs in the locker room, but there has to be a connection.
Yes.
Does the rest of the team have a say in whoever brings on Dan Campbell or the coach or whoever brings on to the team, whoever they recruit?
I would think you would have to be a Jared Goff. Or,
to have that kind of influence?
Yeah, I mean, you can say, hey, you know, this player...
A shot caller.
I've worked with him, because I know... I'm sorry to keep bringing it back to the Red Wings, but this is what I know. But in the, 2001, they said, you know, Brett Hull is going to be a free agent. We could sign him. Let's get him in here. Well, a couple of the guys are like, listen, we'll take less money to bring him in. And this is pre-salary cap, so it wasn't even like, you know, they even had to worry about that.
They gave up money to the front office just to bring another guy on?
Yeah, they did.
They wanted him that bad.
They want a Stanley Cup.
Nice.
That year, so.
I mean, clearly it worked for him.
It worked for him. Yeah. But, I mean, yes. I also wonder, would it work the other way? If the GM and the coach says, hey, we really like this player, and everybody else on the team's like, the guy's
got a horrible attitude. He's not a team player. He's a ball hog.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering. You never hear those stories.
I mean, I feel like, though, the difference is there that Dan Campbell is more attuned to, A, his team and what he's trying to build in Detroit. Like, I feel like he might be able to identify pretty quickly that these aren't the kind of character players that he wants on his team. Like, I don't see him upsetting that boat because he's worked pretty hard to change the culture into what it is. So I don't see him going for those kind of players. So I feel like it's kind of a moot point, really.
Yeah, they're going to trust his judgment. I mean, Dan Campbell is about perfect for a blue-collar town like Detroit. I mean, he is exactly what Detroit likes to identify themselves with.
Grit. No, absolutely. Grit. Yes. I mean, that's
grit.
Grit.
Yeah, there he.
Biting the kneecaps, you know, all that stuff, all the stuff that we made jokes about when he first got hired here.
Yeah.
All the stuff that to a lot of people made him a joke when he was first hired here.
Yeah, we laughed about it. Because, oh, you're going to bite kneecaps? Like, oh, here we go. The guy's a showboater. He's going to be a bum. Get rid of him. And then next thing you know.
A lot of people really did kind of think that. And then it very much turned out that. No, he was in fact a perfect fit for this team.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited to see what they're going to do for next season. It was so good to see everybody walking around with Honolulu blue and silver. They still are.
Yeah.
Even when they lost, it wasn't like no. I mean, okay, you had a few idiots on online saying, "Oh, yep, SOL. I knew they were going to lose. Bunch of trash. Trade everybody." But
there's a whole, those always exist.
They're always going to be there. They could win the Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, but it took them all day.
SOL.
They only won by four.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, everybody is
That's
still
the thing. Anybody who played for the 49ers to win, they didn't cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah.
So, I mean, I've seen when the Wings win the cup. I mean, when the Wings won that first cup, it was a little different. But, I mean, when the Pistons won, I didn't see it. It wasn't like this.
No. No.
Maybe it's because basketball is not as popular as football, but.
I don't know. I feel like this town, there was a fair bit of. You know, like they rally behind that team, certainly the going to work squad of the mid aughts.
Sure. Oh, of course. And Drew, you remember when the Tigers won the World Series in 1984? This place was just crazy for the Tigers. Don't you remember that, Drew?
Yes, I do.
Oh,
I
yes, absolutely. Yeah. Sean, don't you? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I was in fourth grade. Auto World had just opened up.
Wait a minute. You were fourth? No, because you're a year. You were in third grade.
In 84?
Yeah, I was in fourth grade in 84.
Your birthday's in the fall. Mine's in the summer.
Neither one of them know how old they actually are. I mean, you're both, what, pushing 50?
I was working a night shift at GM.
God, you sound like a old curmudgeon.
Get off my yard.
Here's Ocean Alley at Solid State Radio. The Kills at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and I feel like... Oh, and Drew Duffy's hanging out with us as well.
Hi. I'm kind of mute during football talk because, well.
Sports. Yeah, I know. So, we'll get something we can bring everybody in on, and that is judging people. We're really just the best at this. I judge that we're the best judges of people that there are.
I've never judged, yes.
Let's do a little bit of Am I the A-hole, shall we?
Yes, let's do this.
This
let's
one.
Let's do that A-hole. Wait a minute, no.
Brown and yellow, brown and yellow.
So this is pretty fantastic. Oh, I'm not even going to give you the setup for this because I don't kind of want to blow the whole punchline to it.
All right.
My sister-in-law, Amy, always comes to visit from out of town. She always stays with us instead of a hotel and always wants to go to expensive restaurants. She always conveniently forgets her wallet or comes up with some excuse as to why she can't pay her share. She's implied that since I make much more money than her, I should be the one to pay. No, not my husband, but me specifically. I do make a fair amount of money, but not so much that I can treat someone every time they come in town. Nonetheless, in the past, I've just paid the bill and asked her to pay me back. She never has. She made the reservation at an extremely expensive restaurant last night, and before we left, I made it clear I wouldn't be paying her bill. This is where I might be the a-hole, and I'll admit I got the move straight from an episode of Two and a Half Men. As we were leaving, her and her husband went to the car. I pretended I forgot something and went back inside. I found her wallet sitting right on top of her suitcase. I put it in my purse and went to the restaurant. See, that's why
I just
held
know
up.
It's coming. This yep. is great.
When we were done eating, I asked for separate bills. She said, no, we need one bill because she forgot her wallet again. I reached my purse and said, this wallet? She was extremely furious. She said I should not have touched or grabbed her wallet. So am I the a-hole for taking her wallet and bringing her to the restaurant?
Nope.
You know?
Nope.
The word hero is really overused these days, but...
What a conniving pain in the butt.
Right? No, you are not a terrible person at all. If anything, you should have left your wallet at home.
Right? Oh, wouldn't that be great? It's like, oh, I left my wallet too. I guess we're washing dishes. So, like, she left her wallet and, like, she said, and she's married, so the husband left his wallet too? Everybody left their wallet?
Apparently.
Wow.
And she actually took it so far as to actually leave it somewhere so she wouldn't have to bring it in. Wow, that's a level of a-hole that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around.
And here's my thing. This is one of those, I almost want to know if I need more information.
Oh, I would love to. How quiet was that car ride home?
Well, I want to know, like, in the genesis of this, did they live in the same small town and the attorney only needed one secretary? And... both sisters applied for the job, and the one sister got it, and so now the other sister's ruined for life or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, because obviously
that's quite a rabbit hole you just went down.
Well, yeah, it really is.
But, I mean, obviously she's doing it intentionally, right? She lives in a different town. She always comes in town. And, yes, because she does have a fair good job, she thinks that she should take her out. Not the husband, but her specifically. Like, you're my big sister. You need to pay for me.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. And it makes me wonder if there was some sort of jealousy. She didn't get hugged enough as a kid or too much. I don't know. But
probably. You know. She's cheap. She probably does that to a lot of her friends.
But her husband, too? Like, I would feel like a slug if I was with my girlfriend or if I had a wife and we went to their friend's house, even if, like I have a friend who makes, more money than I'll ever make in a year, ever. And we still go Dutch.
Yeah.
He tries to pay, and I'm like, no. And then and once in a while, he'll say, well, you know, if I bring him a nice bottle of whiskey or something like that, or there's something along those lines.
It's a barter kind of, a friendship
but
barter.
But he understands, because I had the conversation with him, hey, look, I'm going to stop coming up here. I already stay at their house. You know, they have a room there just for me. I have my own bathroom. You know what I'm saying? So they already bend over backwards to accommodate me. I'm not going to let him go out to dinner, and we run up a $100 tab for the three of us, and he's going to pay for the whole thing.
$100 for three of you, that's not bad, considering what you're
doing. We don't drink a lot when we're on the road.
Oh, okay.
They also drink Old Crow. I mean, you're probably getting three shots of $3 a shot.
This guy, he's talking about, he's got very expensive bourbon and scotch.
Yeah, he's got bottles of the three different Pappies at his house.
Ooh, oh my God.
Yeah. He's got two bottles of 18-year-old Fitzgerald that I stood in line to help him get one of them at $259
a bottle. So we need to find a way to get an invite to this house.
That's right.
That's what I'm hearing from this.
He shows up and he just quits bringing out bottles. Last time I was there, he brought out a clearance bottle of Tully that was aged in a Caribbean oak cask.
I have had the Caribbean oak cask, Tully, and it is delicious.
It was. He's like, did you like it? And I'm like, it's not Jameson, but it's not Bushmills. You know? Like,
really? Because I got a Bushmills that was aged in the Queen Victoria's hoo-ha.
Yes.
It's fishy.
Well, I would describe him because Jim had brought in a scotch the one day, and I tried to describe it to him. He goes, I'm like, I can't drink peated whiskey. I'm like, it's just got, and I kind of described the box, and he brings it out, and he had it. He goes, some people say it tastes like metal Band-Aid containers smell. And then I came back and had you taste it. But anyway, we digress. So back, yes, I definitely believe that this woman is not the a-hole for going in and grabbing her sister's wallet. In fact, me personally, I probably would have taken a couple of Benjamins out of it before I pulled it out of my pocket.
Yeah. Right? The idea was the last time
she was supposed to pay you back.
Yeah. So, I mean, the sister got off light. What kind of a husk of a man is she married to? He's like, okay, dear, we'll leave the wallet at home.
We'll stick your sister-in-law with a tip.
Yeah,
what kind of husk of a man is this woman married to that he lets his sister continue to get away with this and has never said anything to her about it?
Actually, the two husbands probably sit across from the table from each other and just looking at each other going, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. They probably don't care.
They're probably going to go into the cigar smoking rooms, and we're going to have this. You women hash this out.
Well, we knew somebody who owned a liquor store in Davidson, and it was the same thing. When his wife's family came in, they would always, he would say, what do you want to drink? And they'd say, oh, you know, bring some 1800 or, you know, whatever, bring some Louis or, you know, bring in the expensive, you know, can you get some Blanton's or some Eagle Rare or whatever. And then his kid had, like, his confirmation or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is a big party in that national. And, it was a cash bar.
Really?
Yeah, it was a cash bar. And then, like, he's been to picnics at his house, and he'll have, like, cases of, like, Busch Light. And it'll be the newest Busch Light, like Busch Apple or Busch whatever.
Yeah, Peach.
Then, the liquor will be, like, Black Velvet or Canada House.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he said it's like that. And he said, we go out to dinner. He said, I always pay. And he says, they just accept it. He says, they don't offer. No, let me give you half. No.
I'll take care of the tip.
Yeah. They don't even open their mouths. He says,
wow.
All of a sudden, they don't reach for their wallet. He says, they reach for their wallet when they take money from me, but when to give me money,
my dad had a very similar situation, and my dad's always, he was always a generous kind of guy, but he would have his next younger brother, my Uncle Jerry, and they would, I probably shouldn't say his name, we're already deep in the weeds, they would go, my brother, my Uncle Jerry would call him and say, hey, it's your birthday, let's go out to dinner. All right, so they went to Leo's or something like that. And
wow, really just going high class.
Well, it gets better. I mean, my Uncle Jerry, let me take you out to dinner. The waitress comes in and says, all right, is this all on one tab? And Uncle Jerry says, no, we're going to divide it in half.
Nice. So it wasn't even an expensive dinner.
No, my dad's just like, yeah, I'll pay for the whole thing. And my Uncle Jerry's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, well, thanks. It wasn't necessary.
The joke is that his wallet claps together like a mousetrap.
That's right.
I feel like we've all known people like that.
Mm-hmm. And well, the thing is they both my dad and Uncle Jerry worked at GM, retired the same way. They were not hurting for money.
No, I imagine not, and that they couldn't figure out who could pay for a Coney Island lunch.
Right, with a napkin in the on the table, plate.
Right.
I mean, allegedly.
But no, this person is not only not the a-hole, she might be the only person in the situation who actively isn't an a-hole.
She handled it the way a lot of people should, instead of just grumbling about it after the sister leaves and saying, I'll never do that again. And
take some revenge.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't get.
No, not even revenge. Proactive.
That's true. But here's what I don't get. How are we in the year 2024 where we have every form of mobile payment, you know, Venmos and PayPals and Cash Apps and whatever known to man? How is I forgot my wallet even an excuse anymore?
Yeah, right. That is 100% correct.
Yeah. You got your cell phone? You can pay.
Yeah, you can absolutely pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all an excuse. The writer has seen this happen, has seen this song and dance before. She knew how to handle it and handled it perfectly. I would have. I want further information. I would love to get these people on the show and say, okay, what was the aftermath of this?
I mean, that's not going to happen, but...
Well, this letter was actually written like 5 years ago. The sister hasn't been back since.
Yeah, she got COVID and didn't live through it.
Not quite, but...
Wow, true. I'm just thinking they're on a five-year TIF. Drew's like, nah, she did.
No, it's apparently the last year, but you want something crazy. Apparently, the sister-in-law saw the post on Reddit and called her.
Really?
She yelled at me for bad-mouthing her on the internet. Honestly, I don't care. Hopefully, reading all these comments is a wake-up call for you.
Wait a minute. Back the horse up. Yeah.
Sister-in-law?
Adam said the same thing. Adam caught the same thing I did. Let's back this horse up. So, you said sister.
Yeah, sister.
Sister-in-law. Husband-sister.
Husband-sister.
That's why I said earlier, like, see, I told you, why does the husband let his sister get away with this? Yeah. You missed that, apparently, because no one listens to me on the show.
And we heard you say that, but I
guess
just
it doesn't matter. I
guess
it doesn't matter, but, yeah, I mean, the husband should have been chiming in there. So not only is the writer not the a-hole, I'm definitely putting on the husband, because the husband
in the a-hole category.
Yes, the husband should have been like, hey, why are you trying to rip us off?
And they weren't sisters with only one law office in a small town.
No.
They didn't even know each other back then.
They were, I don't know, ex-lovers, probably.
That's horrible.
I don't think that's the case, Drew, but...
That was fun. You got another?
Yeah, I've got one more here. We're on a roll. Let's keep this going. Am I the a-hole for kicking my brother and his family out after he tried to give me a whorevention?
Whoa.
That's too pink. I'm going to need that one again.
Am I the a-hole for kicking my brother and his family out after he tried to give me a whorevention?
I've never heard of a whorevention, but...
I know, I haven't
have
either.
Those kind of problems.
I've never been invited to a whorevention, but you know, I'm certainly inclined to want to know more about this.
All right. Gotta be honest, if I was invited, I don't think I would be much help. There is absolutely no way I'm talking somebody out of that kind of problem.
Right.
Absolutely not. So, I am having a hard time feeling remorseful, and I'm unwilling to apologize for calling my brother out and asking him to vacate my property. I've given him many chances to stop this behavior, and my brother won't stop shaming me for having been a stripper before I got my, quote, prestigious job. These are literally his words. I'm a nurse anesthetist. He's been making offhand remarks about me having been a stripper since he found out 6 years ago. He gets on these long tirades about how I'm ungodly, unholy, and the sins I committed can never be forgiven unless I repent and let Christ into my heart. I'm not religious, I'm certainly not a Christian, and never will be one. My brother refuses to accept this. Also, I only started stripping because of his drug and gambling addiction ruined mine and our parents' life. He remortgaged their house, took out several loans and credit cards in our parents' name, and even sold our parents' identity to his former dealer.
Awesome. Oh. That's pretty good. That's
a pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah. Basically, I didn't know how bad the situation was until I came home one day from college and found strangers living in our house. My father was too embarrassed to let me know they were living out of their car. They never reported my brother to the police because my parents didn't want him back in prison. So when I found out my parents, baby sister, and baby brother were living out of their car, I decided to work as a stripper. I made good money. With that money, I was able to house my family, pay off my parents' debt, my brother's debt, and put my younger siblings through college. I also paid for his rehab and got his you-know-what together. Now he's happily married, employed, sober, and with a child on the way. Last Sunday, our parents invited some people over for a big catered dinner. My brother and wife thought this would be the perfect time to turn it into what he called a whorevention and embarrass me in front of all their guests. I completely lost it. I was so enraged, I spent most of the evening cussing him and my sister-in-law out. I reminded him I never would have been a stripper if he hadn't tried to ruin us.
There you go.
On Monday, I drew up an eviction notice and sent it to him. I want to cut all ties with him and his family. Almost everyone is telling me I'm right in being angry, but it's terrible to kick him and his wife out when they're due to have their first child in 9 weeks, which I paid for the in vitro fertilization, by the way.
What?
Which is like $24,000 a month.
My parents are begging me to forgive him, and honestly,
that's a lot of pole twirling to get somebody pregnant.
Yeah.
Right? My parents are begging me to forgive him, and honestly, I feel like I've been and am being reasonable. I've given them 90 days. I'm done being called the whore of Babylon and the downfall of mankind.
Wow.
Am I the a-hole?
I mean,
I can't believe this is a real write-in. This is a real article. Was there retorts to this? Like, I'm beside myself that this is a thing.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah.
It's an overwhelming, like, no, you are not the a-hole.
I mean, this guy, what a
D-bag.
I mean,
you basically got a free ride paid for by your sibling because, you know, some free ride she may or may not have been giving.
Yeah, right.
And this is seriously what you do.
Okay, this takes me back to our previous caller, or writer.
Yeah.
In that there's jealousy here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like, well, I would have never had to sell Mom and Dad's Social Security number if all I knew was I had to hop on a pole before I go to the casino.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? Well, obviously.
Well, the thing is, I mean, that is one place where there is a gender gap.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, she did that, but it was because he was a complete criminal and basically threw his own parents into the street. And I even think Jesus would be like, not too big on the whole stripping thing, but I get it.
There's some talk about Mary Magdalene back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. But the whole
thing. That's not sarcasm. That's real.
Yeah, yeah. Mary Magdalene, I mean, welcome to Bible talk right here.
Yeah, but I mean, so as
Jesus,
far as being
Jesus hung around all those people, but like, oh yeah, but they were trying to be saved by Jesus. I'm like, well.
Yeah.
Also, Jesus had some crisp dollar bills and just, hey, Mary Magdalene, come on.
His coins hadn't been trimmed.
Eat of my body, drink of my flesh. Yeah,
yeah, buddy.
Everybody's like, are you writing this down? Yeah, but we're going to put it in a different context. This is just messed up. We can't say Jesus got hepped up on water wine and started throwing money at Mary Magdalene and said, twirl it, girl, twirl it.
When the apostles said, make it rain, he took it serious. And then Noah had to build a boat.
There goes Jesus again.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway.
Absolutely not. She is not the a-hole in the situation. In fact, not only should she evict them, I mean, I'm pretty sure she should just write a check to her parents and say, I love you guys. Here you go. But our communication is over unless you guys change your ways. And you'd like to say the parents haven't.
Parents?
Yeah, you'd like to say the parents haven't done anything wrong, but they're saying that she needs to forgive the brother.
No. Just say that's not happening. I have dealt with for so long.
Yeah.
I had to strip to take care of
all of
his debts and keep you out of the gutter. And the only thing that bothers me is that the sister-in-law, or they're probably not even married, because he's so religious. She's due to have a kid. That's the only part that bothers me, but because it's not the kid's fault that the dad's a total D-bag, but
no.
Well, here's the thing.
Take that out of the equation.
Change?
No, no.
I mean, if he's already a D-bag,
no,
the fact that she just provides housing for him, does that is that going to make him less of a D-bag?
Oh, well, he found God, so he
so, yeah, that's no longer applies somehow.
Yeah.
He's not going to sell her information or the kid's information for anything. No, is she the a-hole? No. My vote is no.
No, absolutely not. In fact, again, another one where she may be the only person in the situation that actively isn't an a-hole.
I need some more information. Is there a centerfold?
Got some pictures by chance?
I mean, what was her? I mean, every stripper has got to have like an act. I mean, was it ping pong balls? Was it? I mean, what were we talking here?
Did yeah.
Was she like really good with a pole?
Badminton, hula hooper.
Because I mean, you can see women who are very athletic and acrobatic, and you get the fact once you get past the fact that they're naked, they're really good on these poles. I went to this one strip club for a bachelor party where this young lady, she crawls up the pole and she's like at a 90-degree angle. Just clenching with her thighs, and then she lets herself drop. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to be a paraplegic, and I'm going to sit here. And then she stops right before the stage, and you can hear an eep, and she just stops. I'm like, we just all stood up and clapped. I'm like, what athleticism!
I would have had to write a 10 on my napkin and just hold it up. Like she was at the Olympics. No.
I feel like that's the only appropriate response at that point.
She'd be like, I want a $10 bill.
Yeah.
Write that 10 on a 10, and then we'll.
Because I mean, okay, not to bag on strippers, but we're gonna bag on strippers. There's a couple out there there's a couple of them like, I just woke up, hi, I'm a twirling around, and then to walk off stage. Then there's the ones who like, cartwheels.
Who practice at home.
They do the work. They do their homework, and that it's a show. Yeah. It's a burlesque show. It's fantastic.
They're like, the circus wouldn't take me, so here I am.
The circus is like, I didn't say anything. We'll take it. Won't you? Won't we, bozo? Yeah.
Riverdance already had too many dancers, so here I am.
Yeah, right. Okay, that would be really weird. It's like,
here comes Drew making it weird again.
Here comes Shayna, the Irish dancer. Right. She's doing Irish dancing topless. I'm like, oh, I can't look away.
Heidi, bring me some beer, Schnooky Pussy.
On that
note. Oh, Shannon's on a roll tonight, isn't she? Tune in every Saturday from 8 to 9 for the Blarney Hour. An hour of nothing but Irish music on Solid State Radio.
Here comes Siobhan. She just had to throw out some fellas. She's our bouncer on the side, but she's next up.
When I'm done with my act, you're out, boy.
Dear God. Here's the Cranberries at Solid State Radio. Happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. That's going to about do it for us this afternoon. Stick around a full hour of local. What the effort we do at 6 o'clock?
Housewarming parties. We're going to learn how to do a housewarming party properly.
Man, don't be messing with my session.
If anything, I should be the one teaching people how to throw a party. On that note, though, session is next. See you tomorrow at 3.